10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is finally Friday. It is August 14th, 5:31. Thank you for being here. We are so ready for the weekend. Hopefully you guys are too. It has been kind of a long week with school starting up and everything, but we finally made it. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm trying to figure out when I can get a car wash because I don't know with this muggy and cloudy weather. How have you been with your car?
My car has luckily avoided it. I did notice as I was pulling out of my garage yesterday morning after we had that big rainstorm that night, my garage door opened and I pulled out and one drop from the leftover rain dropped onto my windshield. So now I just have like one random drop on my windshield right where I look out and it's really annoying.
It's the worst. My car is so bad. So I think after the show, knock on wood, the rain is kind of gone, that I can just get a car wash and hopefully get over it.
It's definitely not going to be as hot. I mean, still 89 degrees. That's definitely warm. But compared to what we've been seeing lately, the cool down has begun a little bit. And I like having some of the rain, but you're right. It just makes it difficult to plan your tactics when it comes to getting that car clean.
And I also love that football is back.
Yeah, last night my husband went to the Raiders game last night, and he said it was a good time, and it's ready to have it back, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't really watch any games live. I only watched like the press conferences. Can I just tell you how impressed I am with Fernando Mendoza? The way he speaks and the way he looks directly at the person asking the question, there's something about him that it's so hard to hate him.
Yeah, it's impossible to. He's been like that ever since he's been at Indiana. Just a good kind of, as my dad would say, salt of the earth kind of guy. He is just so grounded and kind. And you can just tell that he comes from a really good family. And I saw our buddy Max Mendoza, his little brother, he was there and he was doing commentary with them. He was doing sideline reporting. I mean, he's a little star there and he's gonna be big when it comes to broadcasting. I'm proud to say we had him on before any of you guys had him on.
That
so
is right.
We'll have to get him back on the show. But yeah, that was really cool
How
to see.
What'd you do last night?
I watched a little bit of the game. I watched Big Brother. I'm like, is anyone else watching Big Brother? I feel like I'm the only one. I was last night they had an eviction. No spoilers here, but I've been watching it and just keeping up with stuff that's like on the live feeds. And it's just another one of those seasons where I just get so frustrated with there's a certain player on there that I am so over, and I'm just like, that person is not a nice person, and so I'm ready for them to go. But yeah, I just did that and just ready for the weekend. It's finally here and we're all set, ready to go, so looking forward to that. You got anything going on?
Tonight we're going to Costco, so I'm excited for me and James.
That
Costco
sounds like
day.
Fun. Yeah,
and then what are we doing tomorrow? Oh, Momo has a grooming appointment. This guy, he is a Shih Tzu, so his hair gets really long really fast, and we're going to San Francisco in a couple weeks, so we're trying to plan ahead with Momo's haircuts. So he has a grooming appointment tomorrow, and we're dog sitting our friend's Chihuahua.
that's fun.
That's kind of
a little slumber party.
What
I love
about you?
It. Yeah, everything's kind of up in the air right now. Just ready for the weekend. Yeah. You know how it goes. So
here we go. Mix 94.1, home of Mercedes in the Morning.
Do you curse in front of your parents? Because to this day, and I mean to this day, like I am an adult and I don't curse in front of my mom. It's like this, I don't know, this invisible force field goes up and I just don't want to say any bad word around her. And the last time I visited her, my sister was around and I let one slip and I actually stopped mid-conversation. I looked at my mom like, I'm sorry. And she's just like, okay. Full-grown woman, like, apologizing for a word.
Did your mom care?
No, she just kind of looked at me and she's like, whatever. But it's so funny. Strangers, though, totally different story. I was at my esthetician's office earlier this week, and I was just dropping F-bombs. Like, I was getting paid, like, here and there and everywhere. It was like, totally, no shame, no filter, totally fine with doing it in front of someone that I see, you know, four times a year. But my mom, no way, no way. And here's the part that's been messing with me lately is my daughters, we used to kind of have this system, right, where they would stop mid-sentence if they wanted to use a curse word.
And, like, they're censoring themselves?
Yeah, they stop and they go, can I say a bad word? Like, they'd be like, oh, and then this girl, she is such a, can I say a bad word? And then I'd be like, yeah, go ahead. She's such a, or whatever. And so that's, we had that. Well, now they don't ask anymore. And they're saying, not a lot, but they'll throw in a damn or a something that I'm just not expecting. And it always throws me off. I'm like, what? Oh my gosh. Do you guys still, as adults, feel weird cursing in front of your parents? And what's your rule with your kids if you have them? Are you okay with it? It bugs me a little. I'm not going to lie.
It bugs you that you say it or
that they say it, But my husband curses all the time in the house. And so I see where they get it from. I never curse in the house, but it's just really weird.
Matt's got a little dirty mouth.
Yeah,
on him, huh?
He does.
I cuss in front of my parents all the time and they cuss in front of me all the time. So it's when, like, when we're catching up with someone or like with my mom or my dad, it is so easy for them because they don't see me. They could just drop an F-bomb or say this person's full of whatever. Like, I think it's hilarious when my parents cuss because I'm like, wow, I see them so differently now than when I was a kid. And I think I like it because it gives me more like, oh, they're being their authentic selves in front of me.
Did they do that when you were little? Did they curse? No, not at all.
No. They never cussed in front of me. But now that I'm older, it's like, oh, I can curse in front of my daughter.
Like,
she's
you're
in
an
her
equal.
30s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why it really shocks me if I ever hear my mom say a bad word. I was so embarrassed I said one in front of her. And then now with my kids, dropping them in here and there, and I'm like, wait a second. We need to discuss this. But it's like, come on. Like, it's, at the end of the day, it's just a word, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know why it bothers me so much. Just got this text that says, I said hell in front of my dad when I was 34 years old and he still looked at me like I was 12. Okay, so I'm not the only one who's kind of like, oh, shocked about this. Marcus just texted, my mom cursed way more than me growing up, so this was never an issue in my house. It sounds like a lot of people kind of have those parents that just free for all, you know?
Did you guys have a curse jar at all growing up?
No, we never had anything like that. It was just kind of a known rule that you just don't curse.
If I curse, it was, you're going to get soap cleaned out of your mouth so you can stop cursing. And my mom did once. She actually was like, get the soap. We're going into the bathroom. Don't you ever curse in front of me ever again. So childhood me and adult me is so conflicted, but I've gone so used to it now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's sending a mixed message. So I wonder where that stopped in her mind, where you're like, okay, now you can curse without the soap, you know?
Probably 16.
Yeah, maybe.
Are you guys ready?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics.
Mercedes in the mornings, what's trending? What's trending on Mix 94.1?
Heated rivalry is trending this morning. That is the hockey TV show that was out on Netflix that everyone was talking about. You remember this line?
I'm coming to the cottage.
The infamous cottage line.
Oh, man. I was obsessed. Well, Dylan Walsh apparently learned a brutal lesson this week. If you don't know who he is, he plays Shane Hollander's dad on the show, right? So if you're on a hit TV show, maybe do not casually talk about production details while making a cameo for someone. He was recording one of those personalized cameo videos when he started talking about going back to Canada to film season 2, and he started like dropping stuff that shouldn't have been dropped. Here was the message.
I love doing Heated Rivalry. I didn't really do much in it, but I'm proud to be in it, and I wish every dad was as cool as Shane's dad, world would be a better place. But anyway, getting ready to go back up to Canada and shoot some more episodes. I think we're doing 12 this time.
12? Heated Rivalry fans were immediately like, wait, what, 12? Here's the deal. Season one only had 6 episodes, and the creator, he has already said he likes keeping the seasons around 6. So naturally, fans started wondering if he accidentally revealed that they're filming seasons 2 and 3
yes.
at the same time. Well, someone was not thrilled with Uncle Dylan spilling the family secrets because his cameo page later said he was stepping away because a video went viral that got me in trouble.
Oh my gosh, how funny, but also how great were Shane's parents in the show? They're what made my heart so warm towards the end of the season.
Yeah, there was just a very heartwarming situation and reaction to, if you don't watch the show, you don't know what we're talking about, but they were just very supportive parents, and so it was really nice. So now Dylan Walsh off of Cameo, now listed unavailable until August of 2027. He did eventually put out a statement saying he was speaking off the cuff and he shouldn't have speculated about the episode count, and he doesn't have any official information to announce, which of course makes me even more suspicious, because now I'm thinking, did he completely make up 12 episodes, or did he accidentally tell us something that he absolutely knew he was not supposed to tell us? Who knows? But season 2 is officially filming now. It's expected next spring. Hudson Williams, Connor Story, they're returning, and Dylan Walsh is returning right now, but hopefully he keeps his mouth shut, and that is what's trending.
Hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Selena Gomez and her mom are getting sued for defrauding investors. I guess she had this mental health app called Wondermind, and the branding was, you know, very like pastel looking. The tagline was like, it's okay to not to be okay, or to not be okay. And two companies are claiming they handed over $1.2 million back in September of 2022. And they said that they were sold a total fantasy. The lawsuit actually says in writing that the partnerships didn't even exist. The initiatives never materialized. And the app that they had billed as being this beautiful, amazing cure-all for people with mental health issues, it was never even built.
What?
Yeah. It's you know, that's not a rough patch. That's like a full-on like lie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so that's a lie.
The plaintiffs say the company had been quietly kind of falling apart for 3 years before anyone found out. And the only way they figured it out was after an expose dropped last September. And then on top of all that, they're also alleging that Selena's mom, Mandy, has a substance abuse problem that impacted her ability to actually run the business. So it's turning pretty ugly somewhere between the whole, you know, rare beauty empire and Emmy nominations. This whole other storyline was happening behind the scenes.
Did you ever hear about this app Wondermind before?
I remember when they announced that it was in development, but I guess it's in permanent development because it never happened. And I remember seeing like what it was going to look like. And like, yeah, it was supposed to be like this really cool place for people to go that needed mental help, mental health help, but we're too afraid to go to an actual person in person.
There's a website still up for it, wondermind.com. Here's our story, and it talks about all of the things, their purpose, their mission, their commitment to mental fitness is what they're trying to, but I did not see Selena Gomez promote this whatsoever. Like, where's the rare beauty to Wondermind?
Exactly. Well, it was never built. That's probably why she wasn't promoting
it. It's a fake website.
And then just the fact that they took that money and then never did it, I would be mad too. So we'll see where that goes. Also this morning, a new survey has come out about our online shopping habits, and I think a lot of you will probably feel personally attacked when I let you know some of these stats. 93% of Americans shopped online in the last week alone, and the average household is getting almost 3 packages a week, which adds up to about 150 a year showing up on your porch. That's a lot. I don't get that many packages a week. I'm trying to think. I didn't order anything this week at all. I think I got some vitamins in the mail last week. That was about it.
We love it. Your priorities. Honestly, we're not getting much right now too, just because we're trying to recover still from the weddings and stuff. But I think the last thing I got for myself that I didn't need, I ordered 2 weeks ago. There's these cute Mary Jane flats that are leopard print. You know, I love my leopard print.
Oh, yeah. Those are super cute.
And that's really the last thing I can think of.
Yeah. I'm trying to cut back, too. Definitely, like, trying to get back on track. But 84% of people admit to shopping online from bed, which, okay, guilty. I've done that before.
Yeah, all of us have.
71% admit to sneaking in online shopping during actual work hours. And here's the one that got me. 81% of people admit they'll just toss random stuff into their carts just to hit that free shipping minimum.
Oh, no.
I've done that before.
I have, too.
Where it's like, oh, I only need to spend $6 more to get free shipping. And then I spent $20 get the $6 free shipping.
I've been on Old Navy before, and I'm like, I only need $4. What socks can I buy? Or what beanie can I get?
Yeah, it's like, you don't need that third beanie.
No, we need
self-control. And weirdly, 80% of people would still rather buy their stuff in person, which that just makes no sense to me.
Really? Well, no, you know what?
I'm joking.
You're like, wait, why would I do this if this is at the click of my fingers? Yeah.
Finally, this morning, this may be one of the most ridiculous dress code tests that I've ever heard of. If my kid was asked to do this, I would be so angry. So there's a high school in Texas that actually built a dress code around what they call a jump test. Okay, this is McKinney High School, and the policy was aimed at female band members, laying out very specific requirements for sports bras and shapewear.
Oh no.
So they then instructed them to jump multiple times in a row to see if anything moved too much.
No.
I can't even believe this. If it did, the policy said to size down or find a new style. Well, parents lost it, understandably, and the band director had to send out a clarification saying the jump test was supposed to be something students did privately at home, not something being evaluated by staff.
But he
never actually apologized for the original wording. He just admitted in his words that it was confusing. Still, like, I don't know. That just seems really like it's taking it too far. Jumping in front. I remember I had a volleyball coach that made us jump in front of her once, and it just did not stand right. It just did not sit right.
Wait,
with me.
She was doing it for those same purposes?
I don't know what the purpose was. That's the thing. That's why I looked at the time. I was confused by it. I remember we all had to stand on the end line of the court, and she said, okay, I want you all to just jump in place. And she just like looked at us while we were all jumping in place. And it wasn't any sort of drill or anything. We weren't doing anything. And I was like, is she testing our stamina? What is she testing? And it just was very weird.
Would it be crossing the line if a coach asked you, like, hey, if you are this size, I recommend this type of bra? Like, does that cross the line?
That's tough. I would say it's all in the wording. Like, try to get size appropriate undergarments. Mm-hmm. That to me, that's
like that.
Fine, you know, but hey, let's have you jump in front of me and see if the bra's working.
No,
thank you.
Are you ready? It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Hey, Tanya, you're caller 20. Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning.
Happy Friday. What are you up to this morning?
I'm off to school to drop off my daughter.
Is your daughter with you right now?
Yes, she is.
What's her name?
Alexis.
Hi, Alexis. What's going on?
Hi.
I love it. We're carpooling in the morning. Let's do it. Let's get you guys these tickets to see Benson Boone tonight at the T-Mobile Arena. It's Mega Minute time. 10 questions, 60 seconds. You get them all correct in that time, and you are going to the show. Here's the deal. Tanya, Alexis, if either one of you knows an answer, just shout it out, because if I hear the correct answer, we're going to move on to the next question, okay?
Okay.
All right, guys, if you're struggling with the question, you can say pass. Or if you get one wrong, and if we have time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And the Mega Minute, it starts now.
What street does Big Bird live on?
Sesame Street.
Yes. What country is Justin Bieber from?
Canada.
Yes. Freddie Mercury was the lead singer of which band?
Oh, gosh. I forgot.
What game has a mystery character and you have to guess who they are by yes or no questions?
Mystery. Pass.
What is the capital of Canada?
Canada? Pass. Oh
my gosh. What is the Major League Baseball team playing in Seattle?
Seattle. Oh my gosh.
What U.S. state is the largest by total area?
California?
No. What liquor is typically served in a mojito?
Rum.
Yes. What do the letters PS stand for? Oh
my God.
Tanya, I'm sorry. Some of those were really hard. You cannot feel bad about not knowing all of those. Let's go down the list. Freddie Mercury, he was the lead singer of which band? That was Queen. He was the lead singer of Queen. The game that has a mystery character, you have to guess who they are by yes or no questions. That game is called Guess Who. I wouldn't have gotten that.
That was a tough question.
Yeah, that was really hard. What is the capital of Canada? It is Ottawa. The Major League Baseball team playing in Seattle, those are the Mariners. And the U.S. state that is largest by total area is Alaska. I'm so sorry. Tanya and Alexis, you did not conquer the Mega Minute today.
Hot, hot, hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
So remember all those license plate cameras that are basically everywhere now, the ones that scan your plate and track you where you're driving? We talked about them, flock cameras.
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, it turns out some cops have been using that system for a little side hustle called Stalking My Ex. Multiple officers across the country have been caught using Flock's data for personal reasons, including tracking down former partners. And yes, that is as creepy as it sounds. So now the company is scrambling to cover itself. The CEO just announced new rules. Cops have to attach an actual case number to every single search. There's an automatic review system flagging anything that looks abnormal, and they're slashing the data retention window from 30 days down to just 7.
Wow.
Yeah, so basically they are trying to make it a lot harder for an officer to go rogue and turn a government surveillance tool into a personal tracking device, which, cool, they're fixing it now, but maybe that should have been the plan before they put the cameras on every corner.
And I know that in other parts of the country or even the world, they were abusing it and people were vandalizing these Flock cameras. We haven't seen anything like that here, have we?
Oh, they're here. Oh, they're here.
Vandalizing and stuff?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, but the cameras are, I've seen several of the cameras.
Okay.
So yeah, they're all over the place. And that's the part that makes me not a fan. Not to the point that we should be vandalizing them, but like, it's just people who are abusing them and using them like this. It's just, it's not okay. So yeah, that was good. Some good news with that. Also this morning, you think that the Barbie sequel would be like the easiest yes in Hollywood history, right? Movie made $1 billion. Everyone wants more Barbie. Slam dunk, right? Wrong. Turns out there's a holdup with the Barbie 2 sequel, and it is money, a lot of it. Margot Robbie, she pocketed $50 million for starring and producing the first one.
That's insane.
Yeah.
50, and just for it to be the first Barbie ever?
Yeah, Greta Gerwig, she walked away with tens of millions too. And now everyone wants a raise for round two. Ryan Gosling, who made $12.5 million as Ken, is reportedly asking for $20 million this time. And Warner Brothers has made half a dozen offers over the last few years, and they've all gotten rejected.
What?
Yeah, including one insider who described it as life-changing money. So, you know, when the studio is offering you this generational wealth and you're still saying that's not enough, that tells you everything about how much cash Barbie actually made.
I loved the first movie and I felt like it ended perfectly. Like, why are we adding a second movie to Barbie?
Oh, I think it's a fun, I think it's a fun way to just add more to it. I thought it taught a really good lesson about, you know, just the pressures on women and the way women are treated. And I think you can go now a new direction and explore something else. I'm all for it. I'm not typically a big fan of the sequels, but I thought that was a fun one. And I like the characters.
I loved Margot Robbie as Barbie. If she's not Barbie in Barbie 2, then it's just going to, I feel like it's a flop.
Well, there were so many Barbies. Maybe they focus on a different, like Issa Rae.
Or Skipper.
Yeah, I don't know. But you're right. I think she needs to be a part of it for sure. Finally, this morning, this one is wild. A wealthy woman in China reportedly funded an entire 50-episode drama series with two conditions attached, okay? She said she gets to play the female lead and she gets the final say over the script. Okay, well, guess what the script had? More than 60 kissing scenes, and there's a 23-year-old actor named Zhang Yufei who thought this was going to be his big break. Instead, he says, during their very romantic scenes, she kept kissing him without warning and held his head in place when he tried to pull back. He says he stayed quiet because he was scared of losing this role and because the crew just let it happen around him. But they're saying this woman literally made this movie so she could kiss her favorite actor multiple times.
Stop. That is weird. And it kind of makes me upset, like, with people with all this money can actually, like, get away with stuff like this.
It's a power struggle. You know, the wealthy have all this power, and some people like this just use it to their advantage. And like, that is literal, like, sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? And so, yeah. So this guy went through all of this. After all of this, the Finnish series got rejected by the streaming platform because it was too explicit. So he did all of this. And it didn't even air.
Poor guy.
I know.
So what is he going to do? If I were him, I would be scared of going back into acting after that.
I would just not tie myself to any project involving this woman. Like, she should not be allowed to make anything like that. If she comes throwing money at you, you know what? Let her be involved in the Barbie sequel. Let's see how that works out. Yeah.
This is KMXB FM and HD1, Henderson, Las Vegas, Mix 94.1.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Okay, it's time to play. Let's get our contestant, Maggie. You are caller 20. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready to do this?
I am so ready.
Okay, I hear you have some help this morning. Who's helping you out?
My boyfriend, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good. Let's do this. We've got 60 seconds to get six answers. The category is Put It in Writing. World Calligraphy Day was on Wednesday. So these are all things that are associated with writing, okay?
Okay.
All right.
You guys got this? Your 60 seconds for Heads Up. It starts now.
Okay, I'm going to sharpen this so I can write.
A pencil.
Yes. I'm going to write in one of these. It's a spiral what?
Notebook.
Yes. This is what I use to make my pencil pointy. I use one of these.
A sharpener.
Yes. This is what an old school way to get your, like, you hit the keys and then you hit return. Yes, yes. This is a marker that is really bright and
highlighter.
Yes. Yeah. This is when I write my thoughts for the day. I write, dear what?
Dear diary.
Diary is right. Woo! You got it. Nice job, you guys. That was some teamwork there. Congratulations. You just got a 4-pack of tickets to the Slotzilla Zipline at the Downtown Fremont Street Experience. That is going to be fun. You guys can take a couple friends, or you can go twice on it. That would be a blast. And right now, Nevada residents save 35% any day, anytime. There's never been a better time to fly. So congratulations on that.
Here we go. This is my station.
It's Mix 94.1 with Mercedes in the Morning.
Are you the type of person who goes back for seconds, or... once an ex, always an ex, because Ariana Grande just answered that question for herself. The internet noticed it immediately. In case you missed it, she made it Instagram official with Ricky Alvarez, which is the guy who was literally backup dancing behind her on the honeymoon tour back in 2015. They dated a little over a year the first time around, broke up, both went on to have entire other relationships, entire other album eras, other lives somehow found their way back to each other, which, math check, that is over a decade later.
That is crazy. 2016 really is back.
Think of where you were 10 years ago. Or who you were with, and if you're still with them, awesome. If not, would you go back to that person? The thing that a lot of people are noticing is that, you know, she didn't just quietly start dating him again. Nobody noticed. She was rewriting her own lyrics on the tour to Tell You on Thank You Next, and that's supposed to be like an anthem for the exes, but it wasn't like a subtle thing.
I love the lyric change, and that's when the fans started noticing when she said, because the lyric was for, wrote some songs about Ricky, and then she changed it to, always found our way back, and I'm like, oh, Ricky's back into her life, it's cute, and now, you know, as an Ari fan, I always am happy for her, always, regardless of the toxic stuff she might be going through, as long as she's happy.
Yeah, and that's what it boils down to. Like, sometimes you find your way back to someone else, but I'm a once an ex, always an ex kind of person. I'm not go back to the relationship. I always feel like if it ended, it ended for a reason. But I know that there are some people that have had really successful relationships after, like, the first breakup. You know, they go back. Has anyone gotten back with an ex and it was actually better the second time? Or maybe you did it multiple times and it just didn't work any time? I'm not down with that, because even just, like, you, when you say, like, hey, don't talk to me for a week or whatever, and you find your way, it feels toxic, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm not that kind of a person. Are you?
I tried it with my high school ex, and we got back together maybe a month or so later, and it just continued in a cycle. Toxic over and over and over again. But I've seen success stories where my best friend's parents, they got divorced, and they had other people in their lives. A couple years later, they rekindled their relationship and they got remarried again.
Sometimes
See?
It's just like it's meant to be, you know, you're meant to be with that person. And maybe you were immature earlier on in the relationship, but you found your way after you worked some stuff out. You know, you can't fault anyone for that. You know what? Love is crazy. It can make you do some crazy things. But who has gotten back together with an ex? 702-364-9400. What is the longest gap maybe you ever had before you found your way back to someone? Some texts coming in. This one says, mine was 7 years ago. We ran into each other at a wedding, and it was like no time had passed at all, for better or for worse. Yeah, sometimes you just need like a break to get your stuff together.
And then sometimes it takes time for you to realize, like, wow, we were good. It just, maybe some hiccups happened and we thought at the time those problems were bigger than what they were.
Yeah. Tori says 11 years, saw him at Costco of all places, and my stomach dropped like it was 2015 again. So did you get back together, or was it just like running into an ex? I'm curious. Priscilla says, we spent 17 years apart and we are together and grandparents now. So it actually worked out for us. Yes. I don't want to say it doesn't work out for everyone. I hope it works out for Ariana, you know?
Would you, let's say, Matt, you and I, they've been married for how, you guys have been married for like 25 years?
Yeah.
You guys end up getting a divorce 10 years down the line, something gets rekindled. Would you go back to him?
Yes. Because I have no reason to divorce him right now, so I would absolutely.
I'm trying to give you a hypothetical position.
No, it depends on what he did or why we got a divorce.
Grew apart.
It really just grew apart.
Grew apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cheating, stuff like that. No.
Yeah.
Coming at you. More Mercedes in the morning coming up.
Give me more
on Mix 94.1.
Hot.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Anne Hathaway made a statement that a lot of people are talking about this morning. She thinks that movies where dogs die should automatically be rated R. And she made the case in this interview she did with Complex while she was promoting her new film, The End of Oak Street. This is what she said.
I feel like movies that kill dogs should automatically be rated R. It doesn't matter if anybody curses. It doesn't matter if there's violence. If a dog dies, R-rated.
She had to address this because The End of Oak Street opens today, and it's about a neighborhood being terrorized by dinosaurs, as one does. Early in the movie, the family dog goes missing, so naturally everyone's panicking and asking Anne point blank if it dies, and her answer was, quote, we break rules in this movie. This might not be one of them. Don't worry.
Oh. Yeah.
And also considering the movie is rated PG-13.
Okay.
That might be telling you something. She also thinks she knows why we're all so on edge about this topic. She says, quote, I think everyone is so traumatized by John Wick.
Oh my gosh.
I've never seen that movie, but I know what happens. Like, I've heard.
All the John Wicks is about the dog dying.
And then that's the actual premise of the movie.
Someone kills John Wick's dog, and then he goes about trying to find and murder the person who killed his dog.
Oh, wow. It wasn't like some big like crime ring or anything? And someone killed his dog?
I just heard that from James. And James was like,
I've never seen it.
I've never loved Momo more after watching John
Wick. That's so sad.
But I think I don't know if I really agree with Anne Hathaway. And the reason why is because I think like Disney movies, like a lot of people die in those Disney movies, but you're not out here going to rate it rated R. And then there's a website called DoesTheDogDie.com where you can search up a movie and it'll just tell you yes or no if the dog dies.
What Disney movies has the dog dying?
It is implied that in Lady of the Tramp, when you go to the pound, the dogs in the pound, if they don't get adopted, they die.
Oh, they do?
It's like an implied thing.
Oh, yeah. But they don't actually show it.
No, they don't actually show it.
I was like, I haven't seen Lady and the Tramp in years. I don't remember.
It's a 50s movie, so.
There's a new survey from Sleep Junkie that dug into what people actually think about the second they wake up. And it says a lot about who is out there thriving and living life and who is just surviving. 56% of men and 48% of women say money and work are the very first things that they think about when they open their eyes. And right behind that, people start mentally running through their errands for the day. But here's the part that really got me. It really depends heavily on what industry you're in. People working in finance and insurance are the worst for it. 70% waking up already thinking about work and money. But people who work like in marketing or food service or hospitality, entertainment, they tend to sleep better and actually like their jobs more. Gen Z has their own thing going on. 28% of them wake up and immediately think about their to-do list. So it's not so much about the work there. So I was trying to think, like, what's the first thing I think about? And I literally think it's the same phrase that goes through my head every time I wake up in the morning. It's like, I'm so tired.
Yes, same.
I don't think about work or anything. I just say, I'm so tired.
And I also think, I can't wait to go back to bed later. That's
when you
my
wake
thoughts.
Up and you think about your nap, that's when, that's when you know you're tired.
I mean, our hours are crazy. You can't help us.
Finally, this morning, Word Smarts just dropped their list of the most hated words in the English language. What is the most hated word for you personally? 702-364-9400. Coming in at number 8, we've got panties, which apparently sits at that weird, like, uncomfortable intersection of, like, the juvenile kind of slash sexual humor that no one can explain.
I think of my grandma saying panties, like, granny panties.
Bae lands at number 7.
Like the bae, like the water?
Like, no, like you're my bae.
No, I don't like that.
Who says that? Love is dead, I guess. Like takes number 6, just when people overuse it, say like too much. Irregardless, number 5, which, you know, fair. Number 4, I don't know. Okay, whatever. I guess it's all in how you say it, but whatever is number 4. And number 3, we've got squelch. That's one of those words, like that onomatopoeia words, where it sounds the way it's pronounced.
Yes, it does.
Squelch.
And squelch is like when you're like a type of scream or what?
It's like a wet sucking sound.
Ugh.
Squelch.
Like,
yeah, that makes me kind of cringe, I will admit. Phlegm takes the number 2 spot.
Is that the mucus phlegm?
Yeah, no surprise there.
Yeah.
And sitting at number 1 for the 10th year running is moist.
Oh, of course it is.
Researchers have actually studied why we hate that word so much, and it turns out that people who can't stand moist also tend to hate words like phlegm and vomit.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think it's more about less about the word and more about like triggering thoughts of the word, if that makes sense.
I think for me, I don't like the word voluptuous.
Voluptuous?
Voluptuous. And the meaning's kind of like a nice way to say you're overweight. Like, I don't like the meaning, but also the way you say it. Voluptuous.
Oh, really? Like, I think of like hourglass figure when I hear, oh, she's very voluptuous. I think of that. I'm trying to think, like, What word do I hate? I just hate words I can't say, you know? Like, I words that I stumble on all the time.
Worcestershire?
That or gubernatorial.
What does that mean?
Like, in politics, the gubernatorial candidate. Okay. I was like, oh, don't make me say that.